You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. If you spend time on social media like Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, chances are that you come across photos and stories about children that are posted by their parents or their grandparents or a relative. Sometimes it's that the child scored a soccer goal, got an A on a test, or had a great time with their cousins. But other times, it might be that they looked funny while they were napping, that they had a meltdown in the back seat of the car, or maybe something worse. Well, recent research shows that children don't want parents to post about them on social media as much as the parents seem to want to post, and they'd like to be asked before anything is put online. KJ Dell'Antonia is a columnist and contributing editor for the New York Times Well Family, and she joins us now. KJ, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, we've talked a lot in the past about safety issues of posting pictures of children, but this is different. This is, what do the children want in terms of what is posted about them? What does the research find?
Well, this was really interesting. Researchers reached out to a group of families, to parent and child pairs, with kids aged 10 to 17, and basically they asked them an open-ended question. Parents, what rules would you like your family to have about social media? And kids, what rules would you like your family to have about social media? And a striking number of children, far more than parents, said that they would like to have rules about privacy, about what their parents could post on social media, particularly about them.
And what did the parents say?
Well, most of the parents just didn't come up with that. It was an open-ended question, inviting you to list any rules that they wanted. And the parents tended to have stuff like, you know, no social media during dinner and no sharing your private information and things like that. A few of them had rules about talking about what was posted if it had to do with another family member. But by and large, it was the kids who said, don't post about me without asking, or even just don't post about me at all.
What were the concerns of the children? I think that the age group here was pretty wide. Wasn't it something like 10-year-olds to 17-year-olds?
It's 10 to 17, and the researchers told me that they did see a trend towards more of the kids that wanted this were older than were younger. So the older the kids got, the less they wanted to be shared on social media. And when I went out and interviewed some kids myself, some of what I heard was that, you know, their friends might follow their parents, so their friends might be seeing these posts. And also just a general sense of being out there, having an online record about themselves that they didn't create, which, of course, then makes you think back about all the other things that you've posted about your kids on social media. And, you know, we all have. And there they all are. They have these online histories that are not of their own making.
So the idea sort of being that someone's dad takes a picture of their 15-year-old asleep in the back car, posted on Instagram, and that can be out there, and the kid may never even know about it themselves until someone else sees it. It might not be a flattering picture. And it sounds as though this has actually happened in real life and has caused some kids to endure ridicule. So you can understand that the children are developing sensitivities about it. Are parents ready to respond?
I think parents have seemed to be pretty responsive. I think that part of the question is just that it doesn't necessarily occur to a parent until the child asks, especially if the child is on the younger end of the spectrum. Once your kid is 14 or 15, I think the parent who would post a picture of them asleep in the back of the car, at least on Instagram, without asking, well, gosh, I hope that parent is rare, because it's not going to be long before your kid knows about that one. But, you know, when they're 9 or 10, they are just at the edge of becoming sensitive about that. But as parents, we're not necessarily thinking about it on their behalf. To us, they're just still, you know, so cute.
Is that sort of insensitivity on the part of parents? Because we hear, I mean, as a grown-up, you hear all the time that this is forever. I mean, you hear this directed at college students, so don't post, for instance, your drunk pictures, because they're going to be there forever and ever, and someone can enter the right terms or go to the right site, and there they are. And I suppose the same applies here.
I think it does, but it's hard to think about your 9-year-old in that context. You know, when you're at the point of talking to your own teen about what they're posting, then it probably is a good moment when your teen might say something to you about what you're posting. But with younger kids, I think, you know, this is all very new. We're really growing into this together, parents and kids. Facebook's been around just for, what, a little over 10 years. Instagram's been around, I think, for less than 5 years. I have the actual date somewhere. Twitter, not very low. Twitter just sent
10th
anniversary email today. Yeah, so we know that one. But it's not very long. We haven't had, you know, we don't have our adult children saying, geez, I wish you had not done that to me, because, you know, no one did. It just didn't happen. So we're really learning about this together, which makes it unusual.
We're talking with KJ Delantonio right now, columnist and contributing editor for the New York Times Well Family. And she recently wrote about kids wanting more say in what their parents post about them on social media. Is there ever pushback, KJ, from the parents saying, well, you know, I want people to see these family pictures of us, and I want the likes, and I want the memories. So how do you negotiate that?
I think there's a little pushback for kids that, you know, that want a total ban. A total ban, I think, is a little harder for a kid to persuade parents into than just a can I see it first. And I mean, even with my kids, I've certainly, and I do ask, and I've asked and said, but, you know, this is what's wrong with this? No, this is great. And at once I got, I want to share the picture of my winning team on Instagram before you do. All right, fair enough. Right, I can get that. So, but that hadn't necessarily occurred to me, because I don't think of that child as someone with an incredibly active Instagram life. So, you know, there are a lot of things behind this from our kids' points of view that we are just not necessarily thinking about yet.
Well, I suppose, I mean, to take it to a different level, and maybe this is a little on the fringe of what you're talking about here, but there have been cases of parents exercising poor judgment, or even of using social media as a shaming tactic, and that seems like a whole other ball of wax.
Oh, my gosh. Did your mind just go straight to the parent who shot his child's laptop?
I didn't see that.
That sounds like a great example. Years ago, I would say that was an example of things your child would not want you to put on the internet. But probably once you have a father who's firing weapons at your gadgetry, you may have other problems. That was another and complicated story. But yeah, there are going to be parents who are going to make bad calls about this. There are always going to be parents that are going to make bad calls. And one person that I talked to, Stacey Steinberg, she's a legal skills professor at the Center on Children and Families at the University of Florida College of Law. She was actually talking about how she suspects that later on we're going to start to see cases where kids want things taken down that their parents have put up. And she suggested that we may eventually be looking at some kind of something like what the European Union has, the right to invisibility, or it's something along the lines. I can't remember the exact phrase they use, but it's a right to somehow have things erased. And, of course, Facebook and Instagram, I think, at this point would say, well, we can't do that easily, but it may come to a point where they're going to have to figure out how to do it easily.
Right. I was just going to ask you, are there any legal protections that children have about what can be posted about them?
No, it's the Wild West. Well, I mean, other than the obvious.
Right.
Pornography.
So then it comes down to a conversation between a parent and a child about what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable. I mean, you write about in your piece, a parent may say, well, I wrote about your tantrum because I needed, or your picky eating because I wanted some help, and I got some help. And the child might be embarrassed about that. So how do you recommend navigating those waters?
Well, if you're going to reach out to your community for help on, you know, an issue that your child might not be thrilled about later, picky eating or potty training, or, you know, with an older kid, tantrums or homework struggles, maybe choose not to use your child's name in the post. You know, instead of writing about, Dylan, write my son. And don't maybe use a picture on stuff like that. Just keep it a little bit more, you know, just be a little bit more reserved about the whole thing. Maybe limit it to friends instead of public, that kind of thing. Parents really do need to be able to reach out to our communities. It is helpful. It's helpful for the parents, and it's helpful for the kids to have a parent who has that kind of support. But I think that there are ways of not necessarily making it the most searchable thing ever. I mean, a little tweet about your kid's tantrum, or even a Facebook, how are you guys dealing with tantrums, is going to be a lot less searchable in the long run than your YouTube video.
We're talking with KJ Dell'Antonia right now. She is a columnist and contributing editor for the New York Times Well Family, talking about kids wanting to have more of a say in what their parents post about them on social media. Research shows that they do want more of a say. And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How do you decide what to post about your own children on social media? Have you ever sat down with them and had a talk like this about what their preferences are, or held back from posting something that you wanted to post but maybe they didn't want you to post it? Call 800-642-1234, or you can also post on our Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our conversation now about how and what children want their parents to post about them on social media, and how parents can balance those desires with their own. And we'd love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you and your children had that talk about what their preferences are for posting stuff? Have you gone along with what they asked for? Did it seem reasonable? How did you negotiate? And do you think it matters when you consider the age of a child, how old they are? And again, we're not talking about safety here, but we're talking about a desire among children for privacy and making some of the decisions themselves. You can call us at 800-642-1234. KJ Dell'Antonia is with us. She's the lead writer and editor of the New York Times Motherlode Adventures in Parenting blog. And we go now to Mary Ann joining us in Crystal Lake. Mary Ann, hi.
Hi. Hold on. It just occurred to me, you know, out of the blue that, you know, how would you like it if your child posted when mom and dad maybe had one too many beers or something, you know, and got into something. So I just think I can't imagine doing that. I can't imagine there's a lot of good insight from UK, that baby center in UK. I just think it seems more how I raised my kids 30 years ago, because now I have a grandson. He was just in. His mother left to go to a shower. They flew in from the East Coast, so, you know, he's going through O'Hare. And it's traumatic for me, you know, when I'm over 55. But he stood at the door and screamed, and I was like, you know, I was like, to my husband, get up here, you know, and he calmed him down, because I tried everything, you know, and I was just worried he was going to get sick, you know, and then it took time, and because I didn't want to put on a video, because I thought he gets that in daycare, you know, his grandma and grandpa time, but I tried everything, and he just wanted to be with his grandpa for some reason. But my daughter did say that he plays a lot with the father more, and she was, you know, since she was nursing, but he's done with that for
right,
over a year.
And so you wouldn't want some of that posted online, some of the emotional ups and downs that the grandson is going through. And going back, KJ, to Marianne's original point about, you know, what if the kids posted stuff about the parents having a couple too many drinks or something, turn around would not be so fun for the parents. So that might be an interesting perspective for people.
Well, exactly. And I think, especially as our kids start to go onto social media, we have to think about what it would be like to be living in a house with, you know, two or three or four other people, all of whom were just waiting for your weakest nose-picking moment to put, you know, a picture of you up online. That would be awful. One of the results for me of talking to these women about this research was to set an all-family rule, which we had talked about but hadn't necessarily really done anything about, that no one puts any pictures of anyone up anywhere without asking first.
And how has that worked out?
Well, it's fine. I mean, my kids are not particularly young, particularly old. It's not been an issue. But, you know, we have had a time when, you know, one sister had a cute picture of the other and wanted to post it, and the sister didn't want to be on Instagram for whatever reason. And so there have been discussions. The conversation has started, and I think that that's a really good place for us to be.
Right. So, and another aspect of this, talking about, you know, the sister story, it makes me think about how, especially when they get into the teenage years, kids get really embarrassed. They don't want to be seen with their parents. They don't want to hang out with their parents, so they're not going to want their parents posting about them. So do you think it's going to be difficult for people as we get into these, more and more kids hit this mark and parents hit this mark, where they're in those overly embarrassed years where parents may want to have a little more latitude than their kids are willing to give them?
Yeah, I see, you know, you want to post the selfie of you and your kid on their birthday or whatever. And I've talked to some parents that have said that now whenever they get out the camera, their kids, you know, they throw hands up. They just won't do anything, and or they turn it back. And all one of I can remember a dad saying to me that all the only pictures he ever gets of his teenage son at this point are blurs as the son, you know, zips out of the room. And some of that is just a teen wanting some privacy and being ornery, and some of it is that the pictures, you know, we've shared so many in the past. I think if you overstep the bounds, the results are going to be clear.
Well, we've got a line for you right now at 800-642-1234. Do you think about this before you post pictures of your kids? Do you think about whether they'll want it there 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Do you ask them if it's okay? And do you think you might start doing that? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. And KJ, it seems like this is something that parents and children could revisit over the years as they both grow and change and the technology changes, that this is not a one-stop conversation. It's an evolving conversation.
It's absolutely an evolving conversation. And whether you want to bring it up yourself with your child or wait until they do it or just, you know, maybe step back on the sharing of images as they get a little bit older, that's a personal family choice. But I think it's going to be something we're going to talk about over and over and over again. And I also think the question of siblings is actually really interesting because, I mean, that hasn't even come up, as far as I know, in research or anywhere else. But your sibling could certainly be just as damaging, if not more so, to your online reputation than your parent.
Do you think there should be guidelines about this? Is this something we should take seriously enough that, you know, maybe the pediatrician should be talking about it? How seriously should we take it?
I think I'm inclined to take it fairly seriously. You know, we do talk with our kids, most of us, about, like you said, how things never go away. And so, you know, an image that, and now I'm sort of mentally onto the sibling thing, but an image that your sibling shares in a weak moment that is really embarrassing for you could follow you through high school. And anyone who's been through high school can just sort of immediately start imagining what that could be like. And I guess I do think it's reasonably important. It's a little not fun, you know, because it is so much fun to pop up a funny picture of your kid or, you know, to snag a shot of your 12-year-old wearing a goofy hat and doing the silliest possible thing. But, you know, it really is important to give that a little thought from the kid's point of view and whether or not if you put that hat on and made your goofiest possible face, you would necessarily really want that on a professional networking site or something like that.
Let's take another call here. We've got Mary joining us from Wauwatosa. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
What did you want to share?
I was just going to say that I have two teens, and they've been on social media probably for 4 years, and I have a lot of rules for them, and I try to follow those same rules. So if they want to see my Facebook page, they don't have Facebook, but they have Instagram. I follow them, they follow me, and I have the same standards. So I don't overshare, I don't complain about them, and they can see whatever is posted.
How is that working out so far? Is it working for your family?
It is. And I follow them on Instagram. They follow me. And to me, it's you're constantly learning. You know, you're constantly talking about maybe what, you know, if other kids post things, like why was that not okay? To me, it's always a constant. You always have to be talking to them about things.
Thanks for that, Mary. And KJ, what does that make you think of?
It makes me think that we are always learning. I just made a Facebook mistake the other day. I posted something complaining about an assignment that was given in one of my kids' class. And the child didn't complain because the children in question aren't on Facebook and never noticed and weren't photographed or anything like that. The teacher did. And I felt pretty sheepish. That was, you know, it was foolish. So I think we are all going to be sort of evolving with what kinds of rules that we expect our kids to follow and what kind of rules that we need to be following ourselves.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I think a lot of us feel better that a New York Times writer made a mistake on Facebook. So I guess it's just, it's a work in progress as a culture. We just have to learn the ropes as we go along, don't we?
We do.
Well, KJ, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
KJ Delantonia is a columnist and a contributing editor for the New York Times Well Family. She joined us there to talk about some new research that shows that children, they want a say in what their parents post about them on Facebook, maybe veto power too, and about how to start those conversations.